Welcome to Art Scene. I'm Karen Bell. This weekend is Maker's Hand, the fine craft show hosted by County Arts. I spoke with Jana Smith, the executive director of County Arts, and Pierre Bouchard, a glass artist participating in this year's show, to talk about what you will find this weekend at Maker's Hand. So Maker's Hand is back after a two-year hiatus because of COVID. How does that feel?
Exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the Arts Council, we surveyed past makers last November to see if they were interested in returning to an in-person show. We weren't sure if the preference would be for an online experience, for something of a hybrid, but unanimously, over 80% of respondents said in person. That is the best way to enjoy craft.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You need to touch it, feel it, mm-hmm. all those things. Is it full on 100% or are you scaled back in terms of makers this year?
We have 40 makers.
Wow.
So we're really pleased. It did take two rounds of applications though, and a lot of effort to just get the word out. But it's interesting because for COVID, what we learned is that a lot of makers' lives were impacted, like everyone, but some people didn't have access to materials, mm-hmm. so couldn't be creating at the pace that would allow them to participate in shows. The cost of leather really increased in the last 2 years, so that impacted people. Some people retired. Oh, was wow. their time to step back? Others, it's the cost of gas and traveling. People now having to take care of parents, children, everyone's life really yeah. changed. Yeah. So we heard that from a lot of the artisans from the past. So it took a little bit longer. I think people weren't sure either in January when the applications went out what the world would look like
yeah.
9 months later in November.
For sure. So, yeah, we were still in yes. a sort of lockdown in yeah. January, weren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. So by summer, we put a second round out and we were able to select, I think, what is a really dynamic show.
Awesome.
And that's when I made my decision.
Yes.
In yeah. the second round. Mm-hmm. Because as you said, the first round was a little iffy. The past years had been on and off in terms of public and social activities. But I did spend more time in my studio during those 2 years,
mm-hmm.
thinking, okay. planning, experimenting. I'm very happy for this show.
yeah.
It's much needed. The location changed as well. It used to be in Picton, was it not?
Yes. I think when you last participated was 2018. And
yeah.
that's when the show was at the community center in Picton.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2019, it moved to Lehigh Arena, mm-hmm. so the Highline Hall, which mm-hmm. allowed us to have larger booths. So the depth of the booths could be expanded. Just, you know, more modern facility, better Wi-Fi.
Taller ceilings. Taller,
yes, and there's natural light in that room as well,
yeah.
which is really lovely. So it was certainly well received in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, visitors, vendors, loved the location. So we were happy to get it back for this show.
Pierre, I saw you nodding your head when Jana started talking about art supplies and materials. Did you experience that at all?
No, not so much.
No?
I have a good stock of essential items. But, you know, it's funny. There's a little bit of a state of catatonic, if I can say, during those 2 years. Not that I was glued on the radio or any other media, but from day to day, we're always wondering, what is going to happen next? Is this going to let go? Is there another wave or whatnot? I had full access to my studios, but did I produce as much as I could have? Maybe not.
A lot of people talk about having like a block, a creative block, and everybody's like, oh, this is great. You can spend time in your studio. You can do this. And they're like, well, yeah, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Inspiration.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it wasn't all there.
Yeah.
But the time was available, but the inspiration, like our minds were a little frazzled.
For sure. For sure. So how did you get it back?
By pushing through it, by finding that the world continued on the way it should, and it revived a bunch of things for us, myself and my lovely wife, Michelle Cossoy, ceramic artist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a glass artist. So we share many instruments, pieces of equipment, like kilns, for example. I use ceramics for my mold making, for slumping glass, let's say. So we did get the wheels turning again when we had three markets to tend to this past season.
We've been busy.
We've been very busy with those, and that pushed us to producing more, to being able to supply that demand. And it also put in gear, finally, our renovation, our studio expansion, and allowing us to have more workable space into our barn, our famous barn everyone's heard of. Well, it's definitely underway, and usable space is being made now.
Because you and Michelle are both really successful artists in your mediums. Mm-hmm. Why is that market participation and things like Maker's Hand really important for you to be a part
visibility, of? Visibility. And the visibility goes both ways for the maker and the appreciator of art and crafts. So I could stay at my studio. We have a little gallery space and make that available to the public on a daily basis or even just weekends and leave it at that. But by reaching out and participating, first of all, I must say the Saturday morning gossip is very important for me now.
For sure.
At the market, and I will miss that for the winter season. Can't wait to catch up in the spring. So seeing, meeting people, exchanging ideas.
For sure.
With the general public. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll stop by, oh, what's this? How do you make that? And such. And
yeah, especially those questions around glass, because it is such an enigma as an art form. So being able to have a conversation with you, and I know I've spent time in your studio learning bits about it, and it really does help people to appreciate.
It's not an easy medium. I chose it because it had the added dimension of translucency. Glass doesn't have to be translucent. It could be as opaque as this coffee mug here, if I wanted it that way. But all objects reflect light. But glass has an extra dimension. It is that of refraction. Light enters, bounces around, radiates out, and gives us a new reading of the object. So it provides the artist with another dimension to make things happen. And very often in my studio, these things happen by chance, accidents. And to be able to recognize these and expand on these effects or ideas is my role, to produce objects that bring about that refraction quality in glass. So I like glass, but it's not the easiest material to work with. It's very finicky, the whole annealing process. Compatibility between types of glasses. You can't just melt anything together for it to become stable at room temperature. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of science in the art. But I'm an experimenter by nature. I love to try things out. That's what I do when I enter that studio.
So what will people see in your booth at Maker's Hand?
Well, if you know my work, it'll be a little more of the same. I do work with recycled glass more and more. It's been a thing, actually, ever since we moved to the county 6 years ago, living near the bottle depot and seeing all these bottles circulating around the wine area. I thought, well, there's got to be something to do with all that. It is glass after all.
For sure.
And so I did find some compatibilities between certain types of glass that I can melt or fuse together. And if not, then there's the simple grinding and polishing of existing bottles into mugs or vases and such.
Usable objects.
Usable, to give the objects a second life. I try and explore those as much as possible. I must add that this summer I've come up with a concept of screens, standing glass screens. I've made leaded glass type fused objects to hang in people's windows or even as room dividers and such. Those are very site specific, usually a window of XY dimensions or a space to be divided in so many feet. But here, I thought of creating a screen that is, imagine a glass pane, colorful glass pane that is curved and that can stand on its side.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So by doing that, a person can put it near a window or move it around in their space,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to enjoy it in many different ways. Of course, glass loves natural light, mm-hmm. and it comes to life with natural lighting, even indirect lighting. And at night, there's always the spot or the candle behind that screen that can be moved around.
And with the curve, the light's going to hit it differently.
That too.
Adding another dimension.
Yep. But it does stand on its own.
Yeah.
And that was the key idea here. So I'll be showing more of those.
Perfect. And can't wait to see them.
I can't wait to see everyone joining us at the Maker's Hand.
It'd be great. It's clear that having shows like Maker's Hand is really important for the Arts Council to showcase artists who live in and around the community. What other values does the show bring?
Mm-hmm. Well, for sure, for County Arts, it's our opportunity to celebrate fine mm-hmm. craft in our community and to assist artists, as Pierre said, both local and from away, to meet and engage with new audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So we see it as a service to artists. All of the booth fees get pooled, and we spend over $10,000 in advertising this show to a very broad audience. So I think it's quite unique in that it attracts usually 50% of visitors from away, 50% local.
Great.
And from away, we're seeing people from Toronto, Ottawa, Kingston, and beyond, because we do advertise in the Globe and Mail.
Mm-hmm.
We do advertise in Edible Ottawa, in Kingston Life, in Watershed, and all of the regional papers. So we do a very big marketing effort on behalf of artists.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Because artists, as we know,
need that infrastructure sometimes.
Sure.
And it's that economy of scale as well, like everybody pooling money together to obtain like a common goal. From an art service organization's perspective, that's what we're offering our members as well as artists in Eastern Ontario.
Do the artists come from mostly Prince Edward?
They're from all over Eastern Ontario and Southern Ontario. And we do get applicants from Western Quebec as well, as far away as Sherbrooke, Quebec, so just east of Montreal. This year, we're really happy that there will be more local artists represented. So we've seen an increase. We increased our efforts to reach out to local craft people to say, hey, we're here. Would you like to participate? So we're really pleased with that. You know, we're seeing artists from Belleville, from Trenton, from Amherst View, and beyond. So we have artists coming from Niagara-on-the-Lake, from Simcoe.
It's amazing.
So it is quite amazing. From Toronto as well. Fewer from Toronto this year. It's never really the focus, but we're really excited to be able to host such a variety of artists.
It's amazing the scope that you're reaching. And I'm going to rant a little bit, but I think part of it is because some of the other shows have, one, gotten really, really big,
mm-hmm.
and two, they've moved away from the handmade concept.
Mm-hmm.
You see a bit more of the mass production creeping in.
Yes, we do not allow that.
Yeah.
We do not allow food items. We do not allow any soaps, candles. So it really is craft. And everything from metalwork to glass to ceramics to fiber.
Oh.
Fiber art is always very important to woodworking. Paper and beyond.
More of the traditional craft forms.
That's right.
So how do you select?
Mm-hmm. It is a tough job.
I bet.
Yes. I mean, the selection process, I guess I would say it's three parts. First, to be eligible to participate in the show, artists must be a Canadian fine craft artist whose work exhibits originality and technical excellence. All the work exhibited must be created by the artist and produced in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And we also take into consideration how the artist presents their work online, including their website and on social media. The quality of their photographs is really important,
mm-hmm.
and how they tell their story is all things that we look for.
What do you mean by that, how they tell their story?
I think that's where the interest lies. And for me, I'm a a story hound.
Yeah.
So that's what gets me excited. If I learn something new about an artist or can understand their approach, their, you know, unique way of looking at their craft, I mean, that's what gets me excited. I'm like, yes, I want them in the show because I think that their story will resonate with visitors and is more meaningful.
Get a little bit into their head.
Which is interesting. And that's, I think, what we all love about the arts.
Yeah.
And that's what artists bring to us. So then the second thing is that we always attempt to represent as many artistic mediums as possible and also featuring items at varying price points. We want this to be accessible to everyone, and fine craft can sometimes, you feel like, you know, the price tag is going to be enormous. We always make sure that artisans have a range of products from small to large that have varying price points. And then another important consideration is really to create that balance between new and returning exhibitors.
Right.
To keep it fresh, keep the show fresh, keep it relevant. This year, 20 of the 40 exhibitors are new to the show.
Wow.
Including... which That's is great. Exciting. And we always try to make that balance. And, you know, this year we do have 8 local artists who are new to the show for the first time, which
That's
is exciting.
So great.
But we're talking about making makers' hands. You want a story? That's the reason why I work with plastic material. Sitting in front of a computer, designing, you know, working with PageMaker at the time, and then Adobe, and later on, and even teaching these fields was, very pleasant, gratifying. I was able to create doing those and sharing knowledge, but I was missing touching material with my hands.
Yeah.
And in the sign making business, I was able to design still on the computer, but then I was able to learn how to make an object here. And that part I really enjoyed. And then when we got to working on glass, sandblasting glass, carving it with the name of a barrister or another, and that really turned me on. And after having a line of glass objects that I would sandblast with all kinds of graphics and patterns, I thought, well, if I can do this, why not make the glass myself? And then the possibilities just exploded. So I'm saying all this, and I'm encouraging people to visit fine craft and arts and crafts shows like The Maker's Hand, because anyone and everyone, even if they tell me, oh, I'm not good at art, or I can't draw, I can't do anything, you have to start somewhere.
You do.
You have to be dedicated. You have to have that spark that brings you back to that table where you're making stuff, and keep at it. And you'll be surprised how soon you'll be able to define yourself through art objects at any age.
At any age. And it really is a practice too. And it really is a process and a growth of your practice and your style and your point of view to get back to the story idea.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, talking about COVID and, you know, the impact of the pandemic on The Maker's Hand in particular, because it was not operating during the height of the pandemic. When I think about like what's new to the show, I think it's the artist's stories, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing many artists who were pursuing different career paths prior to the pandemic. Like so many of us, we started to reflect and rethink our lifestyle and our passions and our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that in some of the stories of the artists who will be present this year. They would not have been present two years ago. They were not creating what they are creating today.
Wow, that's great.
Which is really interesting. So it'll be, I think, a really interesting mix of artists at different points in their career. A show like this, we want to see emerging artists. That is important to us. And we want to help them connect with new audiences.
And it starts today.
November 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And runs...
until Sunday at 4 p.m. So November 13th, it'll close at 4. Otherwise, it is open Friday and Saturday from 10 until 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's $5 to get in for unlimited access for the weekend. So you get a little bracelet, you can come back.
Wow.
And there's no charge for children under 12.
And it's at the Lehigh Center.
Yes, at Highline Hall. There's free parking and the venue is wheelchair accessible. There's also an ATM on site if people need, but all of the makers will have their own square or merch terminal.
That is awesome. And is there a website where people can go to, you know, preview who's
participating? Yes, you can preview the work. You can read some of the artist's stories at themakershand.com.
Awesome. Thank you. This has been great.
Yes, thank
great
you, Karen.
Conversation.
Amazing.
Can't
love it.
Wait to get back in there.
Bye-bye.
And that was my conversation with Jana Smith and Pierre Bouchard. As Jana mentioned, you can visit makershand.com to learn about this year's participating arts. But a reminder, it is on now through Sunday at the Lehigh Center in Wellington. If 40 excellent makers isn't enough, food at the site is being provided by Luso Bites, who will be serving up their delicious Portuguese-inspired food. And that is it for this week's Art Scene. Art Scene is Sarah Moran, Cheryl Singer, and me, Karen Bell, and is heard every Friday on The Grapevine. If you have a story idea or event you'd like us to cover, send us an email at artscene@993countyfm.ca. Thanks, and have a great week.